Good morning. How y'all doing? I think that was my cue to come up. Y'all alive and well this morning? Yes? Come on, y'all better be energized. LSU killed it yesterday. Come on. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's good to have y'all this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Todd. I'm the pastor. I just want to welcome you. Say it's great to have you. If you're a guest here, thank you for coming. You know, our heart and my heart as a pastor is that really you encounter God, you walk out of here knowing that you can fulfill the purpose and calling that He has on your life. We'd love it if you'd take a moment and fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. That really just allows you to connect with us and us with you. And in fact, if you would take that and either put it in the bucket at the end of service, or really we'd love it if you go to the Connection Center and turn it in. And we actually have some really killer gifts for you. We'd love for you to do that because our heart is to really just be a good steward of our lives and everybody that comes here. Because let me just tell you, God's got His hand on our church and the future is awesome and I'm excited about it. I know, God's put this on me. I'm not even planning on sharing this. I'm not preaching. But God's called us to really break the spirits of pride, poverty, and prejudice in Lake Charles and in this whole region. So I'm excited about what He's doing. And before I forget, and the booth fusses at me because I'm doing announcements today because y'all have a really awesome experience today with Pastor Obed Martinez. So I'm not used to doing announcements. Can y'all give me some grace? Yeah. There's two things that are really, I want you to connect with. The first is our Burn 24/7, which takes place Friday, October 19th from 7 to 10 p.m. And it is where we come together with other worship teams from this whole area and we worship together. There's no child care, but you can bring your kids if you want. We're just going to shove them in the back room if that's okay with you. Not really. But it is going to be an awesome time. In fact, Burn 24/7 is an international organization, but the regional directors happen to be Jared and Melody Savoy, which is our worship leader and music director. So it's going to be awesome. We are kicking it off for the first time in Lake Charles right here on October 19th. The second thing is many of you saw the devastation in the news this past week. Hurricane Michael ravaged the panhandle of Florida. So part of our spiritual family is right there in Sandestin, Miramar Beach, Destin, Florida area. In fact, they have three campuses. And one of them was the Panama City Beach campus was featured on the national news as a focus of the devastation. I mean, it's bad. It ripped through everything. And so we are shipping supplies. In fact, we've shipped already 5 trailer loads worth of goods to Destiny Worship Center in Panama City Beach. Here's what they need, though. Actually, I got a voicemail last night that said they don't need water, they don't need food, they need hygiene products and baby products. Specifically, they need diapers, feminine products, adult diapers. This is what they're in desperate need of. We would like to send a shipment out knowing our guys at the warehouse. They want to ship that out now. So if you can leave church and go get some of this stuff and drop it at the warehouse at 2201 Hodges Street, we'll ship that out ASAP. And we're going to continue to be a blessing to not just the Florida Panhandle area, but to our spiritual family as well. Can y'all do that? Speaking of spiritual family, we are blessed this morning to have Pastor Obed Martina from Destiny all the way from Palm Springs, California. Can y'all welcome Pastor Obed?
So glad to be here today, man. Lake Charles, Louisiana. Good to be in the house of God today. Yesterday, we got to spend the day at the LSU game, and when I come here, I'm an LSU fan. I'm a USC Trojan guy, and grew up in Southern California, still in Southern California, and Pastor Jacob is my pastor, and so, you know, thou shalt obey your pastor, right? And so he buys me an LSU shirt and I got to wear it and I got to rock it. I got to fake the funk. You know what I mean? So they're doing all the songs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I mean, everyone's going loud and crazy and I'm doing all the motions. I don't know what I'm saying. And I'm just like, I just really hope no one, I hope, you know, some fans can get crazy and they do crazy things. But I must say, I mean, you guys know how to party at a football game. It's unbelievable. I'm like, wow, it's incredible. But it's an honor to be here with you guys today. Honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor. Honor you today for what God is doing. Can we give a big round of applause for your pastor for what he's doing? And also, I'm here with a good friend right here in the front row, good looking man, but he's taken. Sorry. But I want to bless you if you can today with the word. If you could stand to your feet real quick, open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read two verses and then we'll go from there and believe that God has something for us. I really truly believe that Sundays play a significant part in your life because it is the opportunity in which God takes your last week and reshapes you for your new week. This is why church is so important. It's more than just coming and singing a couple of songs and thinking that you're doing God a favor. It's really the place in which you come when God really wants to do something supernatural in your life. And if we make church a priority like we make work, your life will be blessed. Genesis chapter 37, it says this, says Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Genesis 41:41 says this, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. I want to speak to you today a message I've entitled, The Picture is in the Pieces. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the spirit of revelation. Give our minds illumination that we would experience transformation. God, I pray you give us a mind to perceive, a heart to receive all that you have. And I ask that after this message, we will never, never be the same. In Jesus' name, and all the people that woke up early say, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. One of the things when it comes to life is that everybody, in some sense, starts off with a dream. When you were a kid, you used to dream. Teenager, you used to dream. It's amazing how you never have to teach your children how to dream. It's like God has placed that ability in our lives to have a focus on an outcome, to have our mind set on what is a preferred picture of what God has for our lives. What's amazing about it is that if you can imagine it, you can begin to believe it. If you begin to believe it, you'll begin to walk after it. You were a dream to God. It's why dreams were placed in you. You were in the mind of God. It's why you came to pass. The Bible says that God knew you before the foundations of the world. So in other words, God had you on his mind before he ever breathed on the seed when you were in your mother's womb. Jeremiah says it like this in Jeremiah 1, it says that God thought about you while you were in your mother's womb. God had a preferred outcome for your future. God knew what your destiny would look like. Somewhere in eternity, there was a destiny. And when you get there, it's a reality. And so what God always has for us is to look at the future. This would happen in the life of Joseph. Joseph, born a Hebrew boy, was given a dream. That dream would seem ridiculous to a 17-year-old boy. But what was so amazing about Joseph was in this dream that God would show him what his outcome would look like. He would show him his preferred picture of his life. And what's amazing about God in some sense is that he works kind of in three ways in all of our lives. He works in pictures. Every one of us in some sense starts everything off with a picture. You remember when you were about to get married, you pictured yourself what that day would look like. When you had your first job, you woke up, had a picture of what that would look like. When you became a parent, you had a picture before you ever held that baby in your hands. God always works in our lives with pictures. And then from pictures, he gives us patterns. Because God is the God of patterns. If you actually read the Bible, study in its way, God is consistent because he's the God of patterns. And not only does God work in pictures and patterns, but he also works in pieces. And this is where, in some sense, it gets complicated. Because at the end of the day, when we think about a vision or we think of a dream, it really is God's preference for us. But God's preference doesn't always mean your experience. And in some sense, this is where believers get stuck. We get stuck because God gives us this picture of our future, gives us this outcome of what things should look like. And yet, while we are headed towards our destiny, it doesn't look like our reality right now. This is when it gets complicated, because we begin to look at what God said about my life, but then when I'm actually experiencing right now, it doesn't look like that. And so oftentimes what happens is that God's preference for our lives doesn't always mean his experience. Doesn't mean that what God is taking us through. When you think about Joseph, if I get my guys up here real quick, I got some helpers gonna help me up here real quick, these good looking men up here. Where you at? Beautiful. Oh yeah, all four of them, come up here, some beautiful ladies as well. When you think about what God, let me get you guys in the right order. Okay, you're gonna come first. Come on. Yes, you are second. No, Potiphar, you're second. Right here, right here. There you go, right there. Beautiful, give them a round of applause, man, come on. Awesome. But think about this, when God gave Joseph a dream, he was 17. The outcome was way over here when his life would be seen at 30. What's amazing is that God at 17 allowed Joseph to look at his life when he was 30. Joseph saw it from the beginning and then looked at the end, where God showed him the end before the beginning ever started. What's amazing about a dream or a vision, what's amazing about our lives, is that God has the ability to show us what it looks like. He'll show us our dreams. He'll show us what our blessings would look like. When you're going through things, he'll attach a promise to it. And in some sense, that's what your future or God's preference looks like. But yet what God doesn't reveal to us is the process. He never revealed to Joseph that it would begin in a pit. It would eventually, in some sense, end up at Potiphar's house. Then to the prison, right here. And then the palace. Never revealed that to him. But here's amazing. Here's what happens to us, is that when we begin to go through things in life, and we're like, God, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that my family's going through. It doesn't make sense what my home, what my marriage is going through. It doesn't make sense what my kids are doing right now. God, it just doesn't make sense. You showed me the future our family's supposed to have. You showed me the dreams and the vision you've had for my life. But what I'm actually going through right now, it does not make sense. And then you do what everyone does. God, would you just please show me? Could you imagine if God would really show you? Could you imagine the excitement that Joseph had at 17? God, I'm gonna be second in charge in Egypt. Man, I'm gonna have all these people feeding me grapes. I'm gonna have all the gold and the girls. This is gonna be amazing. What's interesting, that if God would have showed him the process, Joseph wouldn't even wanna start. For most of us, we're asking God to reveal something to us that where we're at today, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Could you imagine if God would have showed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that in order to go to notoriety, you would have to be thrown into a fiery furnace? They would have never stepped into it. Would you imagine if God would have showed Daniel, Daniel, I got this future for your life, but part of your process is I'm gonna have to throw you into a lion's den just to make you believe that lions cannot harm you because I'm truly the lion of the tribe of Judah. He would have never had the faith to walk into it. Most of us would never have the faith to take the next step if God really showed it to us. I know that from experience. Starting, being raised in a church all my life. Finally, in some sense, getting a taste of the world like any church boy would. Fell into temptation, fell into sin. 5 years later, I find myself in prison, serving a sentence. I had dreams just like every one of you. And I remember sitting in that 6x9 cell thinking, it's never gonna come to pass. Only to one morning get on my knees and cry out to a God when all my friends never showed up. And at the end of the day, it was as if God was allowing me to walk through a process that very long ago he showed me an outcome. As soon as I got out of jail on a Monday, my mother would tell me, you need to go to church. And I'm like, Mom, I don't want to go to church. I'm done with church. Church is full of hypocrites. My mother said, that's why you need to go. You fit in perfectly. And I landed up going to camp. And the only reason why I landed up going to camp because she said all kinds of pretty girls would be there. And so I figured, well, I'm going to get me a good girl. Used to find them in clubs. I'd rather find them in church. And I landed up going to a camp on July 8th, 1989, and gave my life to Jesus. God called me into ministry right at the altar and said, this is the reason why I named you. This is, I'm gonna call you to the nations. You're gonna change the world. It was a beautiful day. I'll never forget coming down from that mountain where we were at in the campgrounds, running into my dorms and telling my friends, you have no idea what God just revealed to me. He showed it to my mother while I was in her womb 7 months, but I never believed it. God revealed it to me. I was gung-ho. I was a 3-star athlete. Now, instead of wanting to play basketball, football, baseball, all I wanted to do was go to Bible college. It's gonna be incredible. I'm gonna change the world. But friends, if God would have showed me that in the next 7 years, I would lose my mother, I would lose my sister, I would lose my baby brother while traveling the world and winning people to Jesus. Every other year became a loss of a loved one in my life. If he would have showed me that process, if he would have showed me the setbacks that I had with the mark of his calling on my life, I would have told him, Lord, I'm gonna pass that up. Why don't you give it to somebody else? At the end of the day, God works in pictures. He gives us a pattern, but he sends it to us in pieces. And this is where it gets confusing. And this is where most people get stuck. And this is why when people walk through the doors like you did, and you walked into this church broken, but yet had a dream. When you walked in confused, but yet had a dream. When you walked in uncertain about the things that God had for your life, that's even to the point you wondered, is there really a God out there? Does he really care about my life? And you were uncertain, but something drew you into the house of God because in some sense it became your last resort when you tried everything else out there. At the end of the day, you questioned. And the reason why you questioned is because you realize that maybe God, there is something there for me. I just don't see it. What happens to Joseph? What happens to his life? God now begins to give him a pattern. I love what it says in the book of Exodus. It says this. It says, see that you make according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. God's telling Moses, if I'm gonna build anything, I'm gonna build it according to my pattern. When you look at your life, God builds it according to a pattern. When you look at your walk in faith, it is done in a pattern. Everybody starts off in Egypt. That's your sinful life. We all go through the wilderness. That's the process. In order to get to the promised land, that's our destiny. Everything is a pattern. When you think about Jesus, when he prayed and taught the disciples, teach me how to pray, he gave them a pattern. When you think about the tabernacle, when Moses built, the way it was built from the outer court to the inner court to the Holy of Holies, and all seven elements within that tabernacle consisted of a pattern. Jesus one day displayed it in three words, and he says, if you want to get to the Father, you got to get through me. A pattern. Everything about God deals with the pattern. The problem is that he delivers it us in pieces. I love what Paul said one day. He said, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you walked into church with the pattern of sin, pattern of a lifestyle, and God had to renew your mind. That word transform is the Greek word in which we get metamorphia, in which we get the English word metamorphosis, on how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. I'm going to transform your life. You're not even going to look the way you used to. People are not even going to identify you after I'm done with you. When was the last time you ever saw a butterfly return back being a caterpillar? At the end of the day, God transforms your life. The thing is that you and I are always coming to God and saying, God, would you just deliver me from that problem? God, would you deliver my children from that problem? When in all reality, God is not as much interested in problems more than he is interested in patterns. For instance, if you have a struggle with alcohol, but your daddy had a struggle with alcohol and your daddy's daddy had a struggle with alcohol, how many know alcohol is not the problem? It's the pattern. So many people today are afraid of getting married because they don't want to get divorced, because their parents were divorced and their parents' parents were divorced. How many know divorce isn't the problem? It's the pattern. At the end of the day, God is more interested in breaking patterns than delivering you out of problems. Because if God can break the pattern, he'll always defeat the problems. But oftentimes we're asking God to deliver us from the problem, and when we still have the same pattern. And this is why we keep on going back to a lifestyle. This is what happened to the children of Israel. They sat there. What was supposed to be an 11-day journey took them 40 years. It was never the problem. It was the pattern. And so the whole time, God's trying to get you back to a pattern on how he properly designed your life of what your outcome would look like. And so what does he land up doing? He lands up taking Joseph through a pattern. And I want to show you Joseph's life from the age of 17 when he had the dream to the time he was 30 and he fulfilled it. And within that gap is a pattern towards the promise that everyone has for their life. The first thing God did, and the first place he landed up, was in a pit. Who would have a dream of being in a palace? And yet the God in which you serve, that showed you what your outcome would look like, the first thing he allows you to go through is a pit. Could you imagine Joseph being in the pit, sitting there saying, wait a minute, God, this doesn't look like the dream you showed me. This doesn't look like the outcome you revealed to me. And yet we would sit there and we would wonder and question, God, why did I end up here? God, when you really had something there for me. The confusing part where we land up getting stuck in faith is when we're here, but it doesn't look like there. And between being here and there is when you and I get confused, because we're coming to church and we're hearing our pastor and he's talking about there. And when we're looking at there, it doesn't look like here. And we sit there and say, man, that's maybe for somebody else sitting in the second or third row. That doesn't happen to me. Because the reason why is because you're so focused on here that the enemy has allowed you to take your eyes off of there. What happens is that you land up getting stuck, and God allowed Joseph to get thrown into a pit. And yet while Joseph's in the pit, he had no idea that God was working all these things, because God takes the pieces together and he begins to put the picture, and all of a sudden he builds according to the pattern. But when you're stuck in a place where all you got is just one piece, you don't even know how to respond to that. He was a Hebrew boy thrown into the pit. And it just so happened that some Midianites were walking by. And while they were walking by, his brothers wanted to get rid of him. And they convinced the Midianites to buy their brother as a slave. The Midianites really had nothing, wanted nothing to do with them except make a profit. So they knew exactly who to sell him to. So the Midianites took this young boy, Joseph, and sold him to the Egyptians. And he gets sold to the Egyptians. And when he gets sold to the Egyptians, he's removed out of the pit. And he ends up in the palace of Potiphar. He's sitting in the palace of Potiphar. And while he's in there, God's favor is on his life. Because can I tell you something about God's favor on your life? Is that when you end up in the palace of Potiphar, you got to always remember that your condition is not your conclusion. And he's in that palace. And while he's in that palace, listen to me, he's second in charge. It's amazing how his dream was that he was supposed to be in the palace. But God first sends him to Potiphar's place, because Potiphar was a governor of a region. But the dream was that he would be over a nation in the palace. It's amazing how God will always try you in the small before he delivers you into something big. He wants to see how faithful you are. And so what happens? He's in Potiphar's house. And while he's in Potiphar's house, no one's there. No one's around. Potiphar's wife lands up going to put on some lingerie, comes walking by him, gives him a little wink, tells him, hey, come on, no one's around here. No one's ever going to know what's going to happen. He just looks at her and says, look at the palm because you ain't the bomb. See you later. She gets upset. Can't believe that she got rejected. She dolled herself up looking fine and everything. And he rejects her, because character is always revealed when nobody else is around. And all of a sudden, you would think he would have been promoted, but then he was falsely accused. So now he's sitting there going, wait a minute. I got thrown into the pit by my brothers. I get sold to the Egyptians, but I end up in Potiphar's house. I think I got it going on while I'm in Potiphar's house. And yet I get falsely accused. And when I get falsely accused, they drag me out of Potiphar's house and they throw me into the prison. Now he's sitting in the prison and he's really questioning, God, what's going on in my life? God, please tell me. And God's like, son, if I do, I don't know if you'd continue. God, why do you keep on just giving me a piece? I really want to see the picture. He lands up in prison. But what he fails to recognize, that the prison in those days were always at the basement of the palace. Sometimes it doesn't look like you're there, but you really are. And here he is at the basement of the palace in prison. And all of a sudden, a baker and a butler have dreams. They're suffering because they wanted the interpretation of it. And Joseph interprets the dreams by the Spirit of the Lord. And all he tells them is, when you get out, don't forget about me. They land up getting out of prison and go free. And immediately got amnesia. It's amazing how while you're in your process, you'll help people. And then when it's your turn to be helped, nobody else is around. The whole time, God is doing something to Joseph. On one end, he's building his future. On the other end, he's building his life. What you and I don't understand and don't see all the time is that on one end, God is building our future. But the reason why we go through things is because God is building our life. God taught him what it was like to be in prison. Because ultimately, God wanted him to be in the palace. Notice where his dream began. It began in the pit. And all God wanted to teach Joseph was, could you forgive those who've thrown you in the pit? Could you forgive those? Because you have no idea, Joseph, that in just a few more years, those same people are going to come back into your life. And I'm just as concerned with their soul as I am with yours. But I'm trusting you with this. I can't just have you go straight to the palace if you don't know what it's like to be broken. You're not being broken just to be broken. You're being broken so that you'll have compassion one day that when I bring you to the place of notoriety and success, you'll still have compassion for those. Friends, ministry is often birthed from your misery. Promises always come to pass through your pain. This is what he was doing. And the whole time he's in the pit, he doesn't understand what's happening in his life. And oftentimes we forget that God is putting all the things together. And that's why it says God is working all things for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He gets thrown out of the, into the pit, he gets sold to the Egyptians, ends up in Potiphar's house. You would think he made it, but yet he gets falsely accused because that's not his destination. Sometimes God gives you a taste of what your future should look like, and then he slams the door. And you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, what's going on? How can this be? I finally have arrived. And God says, oh, no, no, no. That is not the destination. That is just a passing through. But I need to know that where I'm about to take your life and where I'm about to bring you, anointing doesn't matter. Matter of fact, your praise doesn't even matter. Matter of fact, your church attendance doesn't even matter. I just got to know that if I'm going to take you somewhere where your life is going to be, I need to know that you're faithful when nobody else is looking. And Joseph passed the test. From Potiphar's house, he lands up getting thrown into the prison. He interprets the dreams of people. He's expecting everybody else to help him, but nobody else shows up. And when nobody else shows up and it seems like you're all alone, when you've helped everybody, when you've been thrown into the pit, when you've been falsely accused and you're saying, I just can't take it anymore, God finally has you alone. And when God has you alone, all he wants to know is that, are you still focused on the dream that I have for you? Or have you been distracted? Because the enemy can't defeat you. He can only distract you. Why don't you ask Peter about that? Because the ultimate place that God has for everybody is freedom. Free from things in life. It's where he has us. few months ago, my son, he's 8 years old. He got a good grade at school, and it was a subject that's been kind of hard on him. So I told him, if you get a good grade, son, I'm gonna take you, I'm gonna go buy you a toy. He got excited. So I take him to the store, we go to Target, and he says, Daddy, I want me some Legos. I said, okay. 8-year-old boy walks up, and it's all this Legos, and he just sits there for a couple minutes. I'm like, Judah, you good? Yeah, Dad, I'm good. Hurry up and pick him out. I wanna go. Give me a second, Dad. He's just staring at the Legos. Like, what are you doing? Finally, a couple minutes go by, I'm like, Jude, I wanna leave. Let's go. And he's like, Dad, calm down. He's having a moment. And all of a sudden, he just goes, that one right there. I said, what one? That one. That's the one I want. I said, the Star Wars? This one? This is the one you want? Yeah. Why? The picture. I love the picture. I looked at it. First thing I looked at was the pieces. Because if it was over 300, he ain't buying it. Because that's about 2 hours. And so I looked at it, bought it, went home. Dad, are we going to put it together? I'm like, you're kidding me, right? He said, no, Dad, we got to do it now. I said, oh, okay. And so when I opened up the box, I dumped it. I kind of looked. And I got nervous. Matter of fact, I got scared. I kept on looking at the picture, but I couldn't get my eyes off the pieces. And the pieces worried me because I didn't realize and I didn't have the confidence that I can make this picture. And I realized if I can't make this picture because I'm so overwhelmed by the pieces, I'm gonna disappoint my son. And the last thing I wanna do as a daddy is disappoint my son. Because I don't think a daddy ever wants to disappoint his son. When in all reality, he knows he can't put the picture together because he's overwhelmed by the pieces. And so I got nervous. And all of a sudden I looked into the box and I forgot. That this was in there. That if I literally follow this, I can take that and turn it into this. But if I don't follow this, then that is never gonna come to pass because I'm still gonna be overwhelmed by this. And can I tell you, at that moment, I had to stop. Because the Spirit of God dropped something in me. Because, Pastor, I was in the middle of a transition in my church that was overwhelmed. And I knew what the outcome would look like. But all I could stay focused on, and the devil had me focused on, was these pieces. And I kept and I couldn't put it together. And God reminded me of something. He said, son, how in the world do you think you even got this picture? I said, I don't know. He says, it meant that somebody had to put it together in order to take a picture. And then they had to write it. And they had to put it in an instruction book. But when it was delivered to me, it was delivered to me in pieces. Can I tell you that God had a plan 6,000 years ago that he sent his son, and all his son, all in the New Old Testament, was just some pieces until one day his son hung on a cross and all of a sudden the picture came to pass. And for a moment there, eternity collided with reality and the pieces all came together and it lied in one son, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled every single piece in the Old Testament, became the perfect picture of heaven in our lives. And can I tell you, because Jesus lives inside of you, you don't need to be overwhelmed by these pieces anymore in your life. When God has this preferred picture and this preferred outcome in your life, you may be in the pit, you may be in Potiphar's house, you may even feel like you're in prison, but I've come all the way from Palm Springs to encourage you to keep on going and keep on growing, because God's will come to pass and you will get to the place that God has for you. Come on, are you hearing me this morning? You don't need to get stuck. You don't need to get overwhelmed by a marriage that doesn't seem like the pieces are broken, or children that are far from God. There's a promise in here, and God is putting it all together. And man, whether you think it or not, God is putting all the pieces together. There's not one piece that's missing in your life. Today, I want to pray for those, and you're here today. I want to pray for those. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I want to pray for those today. They say, Pastor Obed, I'm overwhelmed by the pieces right now. Be honest with you, I've lost sight of the picture. I'm so overwhelmed by them, it consumes me every day in my life. And I feel like I've lost sight of what that preferred picture looks like for my life. This is where my doubts come in. This is where things happen in my life where I don't understand. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Obed, that's me. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hands. 1, 2, 3. Lift them up wherever they're at. Look at that, all over this place. In the name of Jesus, as your hands are lifted, keep them lifted. Say, Pastor Obed, it's me. I'm stuck somewhere in these pieces. I want you to know, as your hands are remain lifted, I want you to know this. There's not one piece missing. Not one. You hang in there and you keep on going, because God's picture of your destiny will come to pass. Lord, I pray for every hand that's lifted. I lift them up right now in Jesus' name. Father, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place, who knows where every piece is right now. I pray, God, for those in this room that are still harboring unforgiveness for somebody who threw them into the pit. Release it right now. Release that issue right now out of your life. Let it go. It's no good holding on to somebody or something that's not in your life. Stop being hostage to your past right now. Let it go right now in Jesus' name. Let it go right now. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for people who have been falsely accused. People, Lord, who feel lonely and abandoned right now. In Jesus' name. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome their lives in Jesus' name right now. In the name of the Lord. The Spirit of God is moving and putting your pieces together. You're here today. You came today to hear one word. Listen to me. I'm the God that's still in control. And I haven't lost control. I'm here right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release this anointing that's in this place right now. The power of God consume your life in the name of Jesus. Now say this with me. Say, dear God, forgive me today for getting overwhelmed by the pieces and not sticking to the picture. Forgive me of any sin in my life today that's not pleasing to you. I ask you today to renew that passion. Make that picture more clear, that I'll walk in clarity, no longer in clutter. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.